your top sweeties.
Hey everyone, I'm Wah.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to DocuSweeties.
We're two longtime friends who discuss the riveting and sometimes trashy world of reality TV and docuseries.
Yes, but through our own lens, we could go way back in time, way back to when we were youngsters after school, turning on TV and watching one of our favorite channels at the time, which was Nickelodeon. And we are here to talk about the intense Max docuseries, Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. This is episode one, Rising Stars, Rising Questions. So here we are, my loves, and trigger warning, ha ha ha. Well, just the entire series will be dealing with assault against children, abuse against children, as well as like perhaps sentimental aspects of your youth. So if any of that sounds bad and or triggering, please just, you know, go back to 90 Day Fiancé, to the trash we usually talk about, and leave this for your therapist. All right.
I do want to say one thing before we jump into this, that you guys, we did two collabs recently. We have a collab with Bad TV where we discuss everything 90 Day Fiancé that they watched and that we watched, as well as the tell all for The Single Life. And then we did another collab where we talked about the season of Traitors season 2 with the lovely sisters from Sisters Who Watch. So please support those other podcasts. We love doing collabs. We want to do more collabs. And so we want our audience to go over there and show them some love and say that the docuSweeties sent you.
Yeah.
Give them five stars.
Yeah. They're awesome. Really, really fun. Sweeties
sent us.
So let's talk about Nickelodeon for a second. Obviously, you know us, we're the same age, and you know the age we are, and I don't have to say it, but it's an age that will be specifically targeted in this docuseries. Now, we will give you this. In the Nickelodeon generation, we are first gen, so we know all the first gen shows. We'll tell you that this series picks up kind of following the career of one Dan Schneider, who is working on the first couple of the first generation of shows, and then goes on to be like a big creator of the second generation of shows, which, you know, maybe like there's some crossover, but like it's an interesting Nickelodeon generation. If you are our age, you can kind of pinpoint where you are depending on what shows you watch. So I wanted to go back into the Wikipedia original programming to talk about some of the former shows that used to be on. What did you watch, Doug?
Yes, religiously. I love it. Him and Patty.
Premiere date of Doug, Rugrats, and the Ren and Stimpy Show is August 11th, 1991.
Yes. I always thought Rugrats was my sister's generation because she was actually born in 1991. Okay. So for me, I was like, oh. Or she was born in 1990. Yes, she was born in 1990. So I was like, oh, Rugrats is her generation. But no. She's like the second wave of Rugrats. I watched original Rugrats. I watched Doug. I watched Clarissa Explains It All. Mm-hmm. I watched Hey Arnold. I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Okay.
And I loved Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Okay, so I also would add in that I watched a lot of Hey Dude. I watched a lot of Salute Your Shorts. Now, did you watch The Secret World of Alex Mack?
No.
Did you watch The Adventures of Pete and Pete? Huge show.
No.
Red-haired characters, you know, two ginger friends.
No.
Ginger
no.
Brothers.
Mm-mm. Gullah Gullah Island? Yes. Gullah Gullah Island. Guts?
See,
yes.
Guts, I loved. So the Salute Your Shorts happens in 91. Clarissa Explains It All happens in 91. Hey Dude happens in 89, which is crazy. Adventures of Pete and Pete, 91. So these are all the first, like, that gen. So let's talk about Kenan and Kel, which then comes August 17th, 1996.
Mm-mm. I knew who they were. That was my sister for sure. Because she was six. So she was watching Kenan and Kel.
Okay, so okay. Did you guys, so you didn't watch it? Like, what did your brother watch? Was he not watching TV? Or
He was with me. He was okay.
Whatever I was doing, he was doing. Don't ask about him. Is he your business?
What do you mean we're not talking about him?
I know.
I'm just saying, me and my brother are the same generation.
Okay.
Calm down. My sister is not the same generation. She's a different generation. She's still a millennial, but she's like a young millennial she's a young, I'm an elder statesman, the elder millennial. And she is a young millennial or a middle millennial. I don't know. So she watched The Wild Thornberries, which is crazy and hilarious because they have this one child that's just like wild. And it's funny because his name is Donnie. And LaDonnie is wild and crazy too. So sometimes we call him Donnie, like the Wild Thornberries, because he's just like, and looks like roaming around that, or like running around the house.
How about Double Dare? Huge show. How about Finders Keepers? Finders Keepers, huge show. Think Fast.
Didn't watch those.
Mm-mm. Talk about wild and crazy kids. LaDonnie, there was Wild and Crazy Kids with, you remember that Wild and Crazy Kids?
I do remember it. I don't know if I watched it.
Now,
but I mean, I was also a Disney kid too. So I was watching all the Disney stuff. I don't know what they had on Disney apparently, but I was doing both. Yeah. I was more of a Disney kid. I really loved the Mickey Mouse Club. I even watched Annette Funicello's Mickey Mouse Club. Like I was like, give it to me in black and white. I love it so much.
That's so interesting. Also interesting. Annette Funicello was one of my dad's babysitters because they all lived in Toluca Lake at the time. So I watched that. Now, of course, DocuSweeties fandom may know that our theme song, I copied / didn't copy allegedly from What Would You Do? What da 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 da? What da 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 da? You da 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 da? You do. I mean, that's literally.
You know, what's funny is that I didn't know that because I didn't watch it.
Yeah, no, I did. It was like another weird show. I think like Mark Summers. Mark Summers always like kind of like hosted everything. But okay, let's get into this show. The Nickelodeon generation has been talking about. Now, do you remember the Nickelodeon jingle?
Start it though.
It's like, I don't know. Now I just got done singing jingles. And so unfortunately I have like the other one in my head.
Okay. I don't know. But Ren and Stimpy was disgusting.
Yes.
Disgusting. Did you watch Real Monsters? I loved that.
No.
Oh, it was so good.
I did not.
Real Monsters. Okay. Anyway, so that was really good. Now let's talk about Dan Schneider. Dan Schneider, he had a dad who went to Harvard. He did not. That's important to know because there is a rumor abound that he did go. But he was in this show called Head of the Class.
Did you watch that, by the way?
I didn't know.
Is that older than us? Is that why?
It's older than us.
Yeah. We'll go back to being
so baby. We're just like baby, the babies, you know? So I didn't watch that, but apparently he did well in that. And he was able to like make some notoriety for himself. And, you know, he wasn't just this dumb kid that his parents, the way that like, I was like, how did they know in this documentary that his parents thought that he would not amount to anything? Like, where is that on record? You know what I'm saying? Especially in the 80s, how do docuseries makers know that your parents thought you won shit and you won't go be shit?
Unless Dan, in one of the many interviews, like stroking his cock / ego, was like, look where I am now. And my parents, Harvard graduates, always thought I wouldn't make shit. I always was the fat, funny guy. And look how great the fat, funny guy is now. You know, like that's what it is. I don't mean to body shame him, but this literally what they say in the docuseries. I'm using words from the words. Anyway, I don't know, but you're right. So basically we're seeing, you know, him getting like awards, you know, at one point I'm like, is that Fred Savage giving him the award? But no, it's Drake Bell. There's like a quick moment where we see a tweet that's from Liz Feldman. This is a very small moment in the docuseries, but literally is Liz Feldman's tweet that says like, I was there and I saw some bad shit. Liz is our friend Morgan's neighbor. And she also created Dead to Me, which was Christina Applegate show. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure Liz has Liz worked her way up in Hollywood, honey, in a very intense way. I'm sure she's seen a lot of shit. She also worked with Ellen, LOL. I don't know. So anyway, we start talking about how a lot of the sketches involved in Dan Schneider's like canon, and he's going to go on to like work on All That and the Amanda Bynes Show, which was literally sketch comedy for kids, had very absurd, dumb, of course, sketches, but but looking back, they look like porn setups. There would be a lot of squirting in kids' faces. There's literally a shot of like squirting mustard in Jamie Lynn Spears' young baby face, you know, like a thing of Ariana Grande on a bed trying to milk a potato and then like squirting water all over her face with her old nose. God bless. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. It looked like a cum shot.
That's definitely not our generation. So like when I looked at it, and here's the truth. Like, I think a lot of people may not have checked it because unless you were, are you okay? Chris just like, I don't know what happened. She's dying. She just watered the wrong way and is dead now. Coughing and hacking her brains out on mute. Okay. But anyways, so nobody would have checked it. Nobody would have clocked it because I didn't watch porn then. So like, I would not have known that these were like porn imagery. Now looking back on it, like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's crazy. Like they talk about the feet shots. Like he would have like a lot of shots of women's feet, of the girls' feetsies, like just the bare bottom of the feet. And if you know, like those people who are into feet, they love a bare toe, a bare bottom foot. So, it's just like really interesting. So what they do is in the beginning of this is they start with like some of the most interesting, egregious like things that happen. They bring up Ariana Grande, which is like a later cast. They bring up like, you know, the Jamie Lynn Spears. They bring up these older these like more, you know, early 2000s cast. And then they end up talking a little bit about him and his family and how his family didn't think he was shit. And then we go to meet Leon Frierson, who was on all of that, but seasons 4 through 6. And we get Katrina Johnson, who says that she has been waiting all of her life to talk about Dan Schneider. And how he was her mentor and that he was close to her. And I had a mentor growing up and I never understood what this older woman who had no sense of the current time. I mean, my mentor looked crazy. She wore makeup two shades too light and like bold lips. Like she just looked like a crazy person. And my mother, she was in my church. My mother like set me up with her because my mother really thought something was wrong with me. I needed another adult in my life to like help me through things. And I could actually see that if I were a child and my parents had any wherewithal or ambition to get me to do the thing that I wanted to do and that I was probably very good at, which is be a child actor. I was very charismatic as a kid. Like I did a lot of performing for them in other ways. I performed piano. I sold Princess House Crystal with my mother. Like I was her top salesperson. Like I was in like pageants in my culture. Like I was ran for Picking of the Queen and Gryffindor. So I did a lot of
stage stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never showed me. I would love to know that. No, you know
yeah,
that.
I ran for Queen. Like I have done a lot of performing in my life as a child. And if my parents had put me in front of this, I know for a fact that I would have been abused. Like I think that my parents would not have had the wherewithal to be like, oh no, this is really fucking weird. Like they just would have been so excited that I was on set that they would have been okay with being shushed away and allowing me to like be by myself. And they would have trusted these adults. So when I think about these situations and I think about a 10-year-old girl being the mentee of a fucking, I don't know, 30-year-old man, I'm like, I could see that happening because sometimes parents aren't aware of the dangers. They are when it's like certain people, like the creepy uncle or like a whatever. But when people have power and you want to attain that power or you want to get to a certain place in life, I could see it happening. I could see there being like lapses in normal parent judgment because you trust these individuals because of who they are and where they are. And so we just hear these kids talk about a lot of this inappropriate stuff, especially the little boy, Leon, who hated wearing leotards. And he just said that at first the comment was a little throwaway to me. I was like, but you were on a show. What do you mean you hated wearing leotards? Like, I think most people hate wearing leotards. Like, you just do it unless you're an actual dancer. But when he talks about it, I feel like there's more to that than what he's saying. Anyways,
Chris. It felt like he you know, was going through puberty, and I've never been a little boy, but like they always talk about little boy, you know, they, guys always talk about like getting boners, just like, you know, I'm assuming boners happen all the time at any given time by just looking or smelling something at a certain age. So I'm assuming this little lovely boy probably was getting boners. And look at him. Look at him. He's adorable. And they're putting, so anyway, basically he gets a script after laying bare his soul that he doesn't like fucking leotards, even though his name is Leon, which is a bad call. But he is cast as Nose Boy, some dumb superhero, where babes, they put a crazy nose on him. And then what they think is versions of a nose on his shoulders, which obviously look like dicks. It looks like dicks. He looks in a leotard. It's bananas. And it's like one or two things of these things, these kind of things. We're like, well, suspect. Well, whatever. We're going to have a parade of the most ridiculous moments where you're like, how did anyone say yes to this? And it's funny because there's like so many like kind of like tropes of networks being like, absolutely not to people. So it's so interesting. They're like, oh, Nickelodeon was like, whatever you guys want. Like, you can't say so many things on network television, but they allowed
it was cable.
Dick Boy. Yeah, I know.
It was cable.
It's Kid Cable.
Yeah, cable was a wild place, you guys. Okay, those of you guys who are, I don't know why you'd be listening to us if you are born in the year 2000, but those of you who are very young.
So many reasons, because we dispense life advice, because we're incredibly funny, because we're ageless classic people, because we are incredibly cool, because like I have a fucked up eye and I like cough on camera and it's real.
Okay, great. You're right, Chris. You're right. Those are all very valid points as to why somebody born in the year that I graduated from high school would be listening to us. But like, this is before the internet, and I hate to say it sounds so stupid, but it's before the internet brought the whole world close together. Okay. It's before that. It's before like having a bunch of TV that you can choose from. This is where your parent, rich people had cable or you stole it. I'd never had cable consistently all through my life. Like it felt like we had cable for a little bit when they would do some kind of free 3 month, whatever. And then we would get it. And then I would do my best to like soak it all in and then it would go away. And then my parents would be like, nah, I'm not paying that. And I just want to know how much it was. Like, was it $40 a month? Like, I just really want to know how much they were trying to save from this fucking cable. But anyways, it was never consistent. So I always knew it was a luxury. And my aunt is the only person who ever had cable the live long day. I mean, HBO, Cinemax, like she gave it all to us. Okay. And so.
No wonder you love her.
Yeah. I love
Juanita.
Juanita's the best. Yeah. Yeah. Juanita. Mm-hmm. She's the rich auntie. Which I am now. Anyways. So I'm not rich though. But
she has cable. She has all the streamers.
Oh, I have all the
streamers.
All of them. And so, like, when you think about these shows being on cable television, they could do anything on cable compared to network television, which was, like, very wholesome and needed to be PG or even rated G. PG if they were feeling spicy. That's when the CW came in, but we won't talk about that. Okay. So this is a different time, right? And so I think that they were able to get away with all of these things because there just wasn't the same amount of broadcasting, you know, fining the way they did on regular television. We talk about Katrina, and Katrina says that she was at the Laugh Factory workshop for kids, and she could tell that her time was kind of ending because she was growing up and she got tetas and boobies. What did you think of her like audition where she's like, want to see something disgusting? And then she turns to the side and she's talking about her flat chest.
Yeah.
I was so confused.
I know. And Dan's like, that's my girl, Flatty McFlats. Love a flat girl. I know. No, it's horrible. No, like she haram. She gets cast. She's small. She's growing up. Now, on all that, there are certain cast members that we like remember, like, you know, like stood out or whatever. And Keenan is one of them. He would go on, you know, to be like a huge star. There were other cast members. And now looking back, Dan picked token people. Like there'd be certain types, you know what I'm saying? And so if Keenan was a type, there, you know, there was other types. And anyway, poor Katrina gets a phone call to her mom saying that she, unfortunately, is getting too big and that there is someone already of that type and for her to slim down a notch. So there are workshops in LA for stand-up, as one does. And there's was one at the Laugh Factory, and she brings everyone Amanda Bynes goes up. Now, here's a weird, just so you know, Amanda Bynes goes up, and her dad pretty much probably writes a set for her. She kills it, though, because she has, like, natural comedic timing. And, you know, she, like, it's like a Hollywood story, except that it's also because she's being preyed upon. You know, sometimes it's like we think of, like, a Hollywood moment of, like, oh, I get discovered and someone wants to do good for me. And then this moment, Amanda Bynes gets discovered, but there are nefarious aspects to probably why and how and what, you know, what she serves as a purpose. Side note is this. Amanda Bynes has an older sister. Her name is Jillian Bynes. And at LMU, Jillian Bynes came and was a theater arts major there for, like, a hot ass second. She ended up doing, like, a farce from a show. It's a farce. I forgot one of the farces. And her parents came, like, met her parents. It's so funny because, like, I remember meeting them. And Amanda was already a star at that point. So, like, Jillian's a little bit older than her. So I knew who they were. And so Jillian was a really good actor. She was really, really funny. But she ended up leaving school and never graduated. And I don't know whatever happened to her. Obviously, Amanda Bynes is going through it. Watching this, if you're on TikTok or whatever, Amanda, I know you're on TikTok. You know, she's on TikTok and she's like, have you seen any of her videos or anyone like stitching her videos?
Oh, no. She doesn't come on my feed at all. I didn't even know she's on TikTok.
Okay. You know, how familiar are you with like Amanda's either whole story or what's happened in the past like 10 years?
So yeah, I'm familiar with the fact that she was one day on a show and then after that wasn't, and like was caught like in the streets doing meth or something. Like she just like had like wigged out. We found that it was schizophrenia that she had like that happened to her. And the thing is, so like I knew somebody in college who developed schizophrenia, and it's like a thing that can happen to you in your 20s. It's so scary. You could have a completely normal life and then all of a sudden have schizophrenia in your 20s. And it happened to my friend Sin, who like she all of a sudden started hearing things, and then she would like get mad at us. And we were like, what are you talking about? And so she finally had to like leave school, but it was because she started hearing voices. Now, I do follow a guy on TikTok who does have schizophrenia, and he uses his camera as a way and his dog as a way to tell whether or not the person in front of him is real or not. And so he's like actively functioning schizophrenic, but he takes his medications, but he also like does little tricks, and he like tells us what it sounds like when you have it. And I think he too was somebody who developed it later on in life, and how just disruptive it can be because you're fine. So you don't think that you're hearing voices because you didn't grow up like that. So it's just really sad that, and I think her situation brought awareness to it, but what she's doing now, I have no idea. I know she's not acting.
Yeah. Yeah. She had got a FITM and I think she graduated, but she is kind of like a touch and go situation. So, but basically Amanda comes on the show and is like hugely popular with Dan, gets a lot of like sketches. She's very funny. She's naturally very gifted. And she's so talented.
So
yeah,
talented.
I mean, very physical,
that's
very in her
me.
Body.
Mm-hmm.
You liked her?
Oh, yeah. Ashley? That's me. Like, yeah, she was so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the kids also start to notice that, like, when they're, you know, in their schooling times or whatever, Amanda, like, didn't have to be there. She would spend a lot of time with Dan, either pitching characters, writing things, and Dan and her, and through her parents, are sort of like crafting her career. She, of course, gets her own show, ultimately, obviously, the Amanda Bynes show. Dan is a creator. And it's one thing that it was like she is a physical comedian in the vein of like someone kind of like I Love Lucy or something. So she was able to have her own show and she didn't have to, there was like no sexual, I mean, she didn't portray herself on the show as being like hypersexual or like dumb or like not able to like be entertaining. She was like obviously a force and was really, really great. We started to meet two female writers that were brought on to write the show, and the ways in which they got the jobs are so LOL, which is one just gets the job being in a forum back in the 90s. Her name is Christy and, oh no, Jenny. And then Christy, I'm not exactly sure if she, how she got the job, but basically Dan is like, I'm going to hire two ladies, except I'm going to buy one, get one free. I'm going to BOGO you guys, pay less.
Yeah.
And he splits their salaries and they both just have to work for one salary as if they were one person, but they're both there.
Yeah. And again, a different time that could even happen, even though there's the Screenwriters Guild and there's all kinds of things like in place, they just were both so hungry to have this job. And that's what Hollywood does. It creates like this scarcity mindset that people like are so desperate that they'll take whatever to get it on your resume. And that's kind of the thing that they tell you. It's like, oh, okay, you don't have to get paid for this. Like, you put it on your resume and it'll help you get there. There's all these like fake little things that they tell people to take advantage of them. And these ladies fell prey to that. But they quickly realized that the writing room was not safe for them as women, because Dan used to kind of put them in situations that A, was uncomfortable for them. But like, he's also extremely sexist. I mean, the power went to his head. This man could not get a woman just on his regular face and self, that he just, I think when he had an opportunity to get back at women for all the women who didn't love him, he absolutely did. And he knew what he was doing based on the things that they're saying that he did. He even created a character for one of the little girls called Penelope Taint. Talking about the space between the balls and the butt. Like, and then he named a child that. And then when someone called him out on it, some male in the higher ups executive called him out on it, he's like, no, it's because of tainting. Their image is tainted. And like, the writers had to like sit on this as though like, you know, it's their secret private joke, but they wanted to continue working and being in Dan's good light. So he would have people like scream things like slut. He even had one of them, I think Jennifer, like read a line as though she was getting
sodomized. It was Christy. Yeah, it was Christy.
Oh, it's just like crazy.
Yeah. That part, like she, like that part alone, I'm like, you can, oh God, I wish you could, she didn't want to talk about it. I feel so bad for her. She could have sued for so much money. And she did. We start to hear from another like culture writer named Sketchy Cool. She's like a chunky necklace culture writer. She's like a talking head for the documentary. We also have another entertainment writer, a blondie entertainment writer that kind of like give us our little backstory and fill in stuff. There's another girl that comes. Her name is like Raquel Ballou. She's like a 12-year-old girl on the first season of Amanda Bynes and Drake. And she and Drake Bell are the co-stars and are very much, you know, like happy to be there and very much like, we're the co-star, she's the star. And they kind of talk about some weird things. There was a horrible, like awkward scene where they had a hot tub and Amanda was there in a bathing suit. Dan's fully clothed and he's talking about why they're there in the hot tub. And it's basically because Dan is the executive producer. Therefore, the joke is he can make whatever he wants happen. Therefore, what he wanted to happen was to be in a hot tub with a 14-year-old Amanda Bynes, which is the joke, I guess.
And a not funny joke. There's so many not funny things that are occurring that I hear from this. Like he had one of the writers, he's like, hey, anybody want to eat a pint of ice, 2 pints of ice cream for $300? And one of the girls is like, yep, I will. And she does. He doesn't pay her the $300. So then later on, like a couple of, you know, weeks later, he makes another bet joke and he's like, yeah, does anybody want to do this for $30? And she was like, yeah, you're going to add it to my tab. And he pulls her aside for like calling him out on not paying his, you know, bets or whatever. And he's like, did you say that? And like, why would you say that? And I pay my bets. And I wish in that moment she'd have been like, but you didn't pay me the 300. So give me the 300. We can call it even. And it's, you know what it made me feel in that moment? That I am so very lucky to be in the position that I am in my workspace, because that would never fly, Chris. Like, I am listening to these women talk and I'm like, why didn't you just say that? And I'm like, oh, I don't know what it's like to not have power. I don't know what it's like to feel like you don't have power. Even if I don't have it, I still have it. Joaquin Molino still has it. And I think that has to do with just how I've been lucky this entire time to reach this in this age. Like in my 20s, different.
Oh, yeah.
If I had been starving for something, completely different. Like, I need to tell you this right now, Chris. There was a time in my auditioning life where I was like, oh, I will have sex for this. Like and that was me having power within myself of like, if somebody is like alluding to the fact that if I have sex with them, they'll give me this. I'd be like, okay, give it to half of it to me now. Half of it now. And then we'll have sex. When I'm casted, we'll have sex. After the first season, sex for sure. Like I had said to myself, I would have sex to have the career that I want.
Well, yeah, you know, I see what you're saying. It's that you would feel empowered if you like got to have a casting couch experience. Obviously, we both were in a ridiculous show together that we were like basically abused by the director. So we could see for no money why we did that to ourselves. If we were given mm-hmm. the chance to like have our lives and our whole hopes and dreams somehow magically happen with the promise of even more. Very, these poor people.
Yeah.
So basically Jenny then finally realizes that she's getting paid half and she should be getting paid more. And they're going to go into season two of a very popular show. So she calls the WGA. Now here's another thing. This is why it's a little bit confusing. We don't know if this is a union show because this is a cable show. Some cable shows are not union shows. I'm not quite sure if they were under WGA because it was a union show. I remember there was a bunch of things that happened when there was Fashion Police for the same reason, but basically Jenny calls a WGA. Obviously the WGA gets to Dan. Dan calls in Jenny and threatens her. Basically saying that if you ever fucking do anything to ruin the institution and or enterprise and or empire I'm creating, I will blackball you from the entire industry. Mm-hmm. There's another director who worked there a lot. He's bald. His name is Virgil. And he said that, yeah, Dan got scary and he's fucking fired Christy. And mm-hmm. Jenny then was asked to come back for season two, but then given this like bananas schedule where she was mm-hmm. basically asked to work for free for 11 weeks. Meanwhile, he then hired another full-time staff writer who had no credits, a white male, who obviously wasn't going to have like a 11 week paid unpaid work, work vacation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I wanted that name. They didn't name him. And I was like, who? Tell me who. I wanted to know who. Yeah. So it was like 20. It was like, he was like, yeah.
Chuck Lorre. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
He's like, I'm going to sign you for 27 weeks, but you're only going to get paid for 16. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no. And it took her just like she hemmed and hawed and she was so upset, but then she just finally had to say no. And it was like, good on you, girl. But like, I get it. Like that is a very, very stressful situation to like be so close to getting what you want and having just some asshole just guarding the gate. You know what I mean? Just like guarding the gate and this like using all of his power to make your life a living hell. And to those kids, like the kids felt pressure. Because some of them were paying for their families.
Yeah.
Some of them were that kind of thing. And I'm like, that could have been me. That could have been me where I'm like, I want my family to have a nice life. I'm on this show. I'm bankrolling this. And like, I can take this. Like I can put up with this. Because at the end of it is a pot of gold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And especially if your parents are just kind of like, well, yeah, we want this for you too. And suck it up and have some work ethic and just keep pushing at it. Like that is, I don't know. That is just kind of how my parents were. Like, I can honestly say that, you know, even when that terrible show that we were in, like, I was like, I hate this. And it was just kind of like, well, I felt so indebted that I had to just keep doing it because of my dad's relationship to the producers. So like,
I know, but you didn't have to, it was free work. We didn't have to.
Yeah. But I just thought it was going to get me somewhere. Like I really thought that credit on my fucking resume.
Sure. Imagine if you were actually getting paid? Can you actually, if you were on TV? I mean, you know, this is such a fucked up situation. And obviously this comes high on other situations. Like we never talked about Finding Neverland on our docuseries, but I know you watched it.
Finding Neverland?
Is that what it's called? Leaving Neverland?
Is that Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Michael Jackson things. I don't know if I've specifically watched that one, but...
Oh, okay. I think it was it Finding Leaving
Neverland? Maybe we did. I don't know. It's
like with Wade Robson's, you know, other people kind of had like weird, similar feelings of this. Like, well, this person could, you know, go ahead and just open the world of financial mm-hmm. and success to my son.
And they did. Mm-hmm. So this one ends where they are telling us like, yes, all these things happened. However, that wasn't even the worst. What we just watched wasn't the worst, because then they started hiring people who were not fit to be around children. And then that's when we get to next episode, trigger warning, you guys. So please check it out on Max, or don't listen to us. But it's really interesting as at least me, someone who was really trying to get into this industry and really, really wanted it. And the things that folks who you can end up in very unfortunate situations because of the scarcity mindset.
I wonder how much. So anyway, Jenny ends up leaving after, you know, that bad contract, after he like says like, did you need to be a phone sex operator? And she hooks up with Christy. They end up suing and they got a settlement. I wish I knew the settlement. Anyway,
not a gag order. So.
Yeah. Didn't stop Dan. All right, my loves. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to, you absolutely can get more of us. I'll tell you how. Go to our social medias. We are at DocuSweeties on Instagram, and we're killing it. Ha ha ha. At DocuSweeties on TikTok. Same Z's. See what I'm talking about. We're also on X. We have a Facebook group, the DocuSweeties podcast Facebook group, the entire time. We have been live streaming our faces. I have one eye that looks like Quasimodo. At one point, I died on the couch. If you want to see it,
you can join us on patreon.com/docusweeties to see the visuals of what you're listening to right now. And Chris is absolutely right. It's hilarious just to even see her like die of drinking water. But $10 a month, you get to exclusive content like live every first Monday of the month. You also get Love is Blind. We did that. So sometimes there's great exclusive content on it. So please join us on patreon.com/docusweeties, $10 a month.
Let's be honest. Sometimes there's good content and sometimes there's great content. Oh, we love you guys. We'll talk to you later. Okay.
Bye. Bye.